I do come from a dysfunctional family. I think we all come from some form of dysfunction. Mine at times created environments that were not healthy. And for me, I turned to food a lot of that time. I turned to really unhealthy habits.
Welcome to the Body Forward Podcast. I'm Kenzie Burke, your host. I am devoted to living a life that is full of transformation. Like a snake, shedding layers, coming back home to myself and remembering who I really am. I have found that the answers we are often looking for, the freedom we seek to feel, the creative energy we desire, the confidence we would like to embody is not something outside of us, but within us. Our bodies are full of wisdom, remembrance, liberation, and it is here on this podcast where I share my personal journey and conversations with my mentors, friends, and others who are aspirational in living a life full of transformation. Today's episode is so beautiful and so special, and I'm so thrilled to share it with you. I have on the beautiful Sammy Spalder, who is the co-founder of Form and the co-host of the Transform podcast. But all in all, she is a very near and dear friend who has really changed my life. She has been such an expansion for me and such an expander for me. And if you don't know what an expander is, it's when you are manifesting something, it's important to have people, places, things that expand your horizon, and picking different expanders in your life who have things that you know you could have, but maybe you don't already. I mean, it's important to have those things in your life. And from the moment I met Sammy, she was such an expander for me. Her joy that she embodies, and her smile and her aura, and just how she has had tough times too, like we all do, but she's not defined by them. She really carries that in her aura, and that really inspired me. And she has this beautiful relationship, beautiful husband, beautiful home, an amazing business that's so successful. And these are all things that I really see for myself and want for myself, and at times have felt distant from me. And to see that and to be so welcomed with open arms into Sammy's life and into her family has been so special. And I feel so honored to have her as that expander, and to have her relationship as an expander. What she has in her life and the different things are things that are so important to me, so important to me. And she even inspired me to get my dog, and she inspired this move to Austin. When I was here seeing if I wanted to move to Austin, I met her for the first time at dinner, and just hearing about all her morals and her experiences here and what she was looking for, it just sealed the deal for me as well. And then just to be so embraced by her and her husband has been such a gift. And, you know, their relationship is something that has felt so distant from my reality. And just seeing how possible it is, and surrounding myself by, you know, what I want, and even seeing the stability in her beautiful business. It's just been so inspiring. And, you know, when I got to Austin, I also went through a tough time, an unraveling of stuff I held for a really long time. And normally I wouldn't really share that with many people, or maybe even someone like Sammy, who seems to just have such a, you know, beautiful, joyous life, but I did. And it was so honored and held and respected. And that just meant so much to me. And then in this episode, we just go through the journey of Sammy and to see that she's created what she has. And that's why it's so expanding. And that's why it's expanding for you as a listener to see, you know, we all have a deck of cards that we've been dealt, and it's really what we choose to do with them. And Sammy's someone who's really put in the work to have the life she has. And I can just take so much from what she embodies, and so can you. And this episode's so special. She has lost 80 pounds. She's had a very incredible weight loss journey, and she talks all about that in this episode. And yeah, she's just such a light, and I'm so honored to call her a friend. So I will let you jump in now. Okay, so introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I am just so grateful to be here. I'm Sammy Spalter. I just got married, so I'm like, yes, that's my name, but it doesn't sound like my name yet. I was a Bernstein for 28 years, so Sammy Spalter is my little rebrand, but loving
love
it.
Love a rebrand.
I love a rebrand. Speaking of rebrand, I know we're going to tap into a lot of just the overarching transformation from both of us and really seeing that as such a common thread of our friendship, which just is such like a warm hug at all times for me to receive. So I'm really excited to see where this conversation goes today.
Thank you. Yeah. That's such a nice reflection.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we have to take everyone back to our friendship story.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Let's start there.
So I moved to Austin from Los Angeles. So Kenzie and I are both from LA, but didn't know each other. And my husband and I moved before we got married in January of 2023. And this is exactly a year ago now. And we really knew that we needed change. And Austin was always our happy place. It was always where we wanted to go on our long weekends when we needed an escape. And I remember receiving a DM request from Kenzie Burke, and I'm like, totally know of her. And it was all about what my thoughts on Austin were. And we got to talking just over Instagram, and it was so clear right away that we were so aligned in what our—
We wanted the same things.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like, our souls were both craving to be rooted. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that foundation is what allowed us to start off as friends in such a deep way because we had that in common. So I think it was literally 48 hours later, Kenzie shoots me a text at this point. We're over text.
I was like, I'm going to come see Austin soon and I'll let you know. And then 48 hours later, I was like, okay, so I'm on the plane.
Yeah. Kenzie's like, I'm on my way. I'm like, sick. Let me take you out to dinner. So we went to June's, which if anyone lives in Austin or ever comes to Austin, it's just the best brunch, best dinner, classic on South Congress, great vibes and just intimate too. And I remember walking over and we had never met in person. And it was one of those moments where you sat down with a new person and you could just feel that alignment. Our hearts were both out on the table, wearing them on our sleeves. Mm-hmm. And we just wanted to talk about life and specifically about Austin and like what kind of allows someone in their late 20s or at any point of their life to crave something as significant as a move. Because that's not something people do often.
Mm-mm. And it's hard.
It's really hard.
I went to that dinner with you kind of thinking with the intention that this is going to help me make my decision.
Yeah.
Because I was scared, you know? I was scared to just pick up. I didn't know anyone here.
Yeah.
But my soul knew I needed to move here.
Yeah.
I felt that pull because I was the same as you. I came from, it was my happy place. Mm-mm. I would spend my long weekends here, but I didn't know anyone. So I was like, okay, well, they just moved. And I sat down with you, and within 5 minutes, I was like, I'm moving here.
My little saleswoman hat.
Like, you're sold. Like, no, I haven't missed anything. I was like, not even the farmer's markets, not even Erewhon. You're like, nope.
No.
I don't miss anything.
I love visiting Erewhon when I go back to LA. Yeah. I will fully admit that buffalo cauliflower does not exist in that way anywhere else in the world. But yeah, Austin's really special. And I think something we both had in common too was in that phase when we were in LA, it almost felt like I always use the analogy of I felt like I graduated but was still living on campus. Like I felt like I was getting a rerun of my history versus like being in the present and planning for my future and like craving, really just craving that change. But it's also such an intimidating thing. So to have been any help in the conversation of getting you to Austin is just truly makes my heart so happy because even witnessing you and your soul here, I feel like it allowed you to really open up to just such a journey.
Yeah, it changed my life. It opened a box of can of worms, but in the best way. It was like I needed to get here. And something we talked about too is I needed community. I wanted community. And I think just getting here and realizing you were a big part of that, you and Andrew, like, okay, there's love here, there's safety here. I can now feel these things that I've needed to feel. And Yeah. Wow. I mean, what a journey. And it definitely got harder before it got easier, but it was also the kind of hard where, like, you know you have to do it. Yeah. And it was almost like the life I want is on the other side of this tough period.
It's crazy what happens when you say yes to the hard things. Because when you dive deep in yourself and you do that self-work, you're actually allowing so many really, you know, potentially traumatic opportunities to expose themselves. And working through that is the hard work. And it's really rare that people say yes to it. And even just witnessing what you've shared with me of what you've taken on in, you know, something as simple as moving cities, but also opening up a whole new layer and lens of your life and of yourself. It's such a beautiful thing to witness, and I think has allowed me to do so much of the same. And it's really beautiful, like, what that does for the community. It's such a contagious thing, mm-hmm. but it's hard work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it spreads, you know. I think that when we, like, I'm sure your story has such an effect on so many people too, but when someone is brave enough to take that step, it shows a path forward for other people. And if we can just remember that when it's so hard.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, yeah, it's beautiful. And I feel that so much now. Like, I get a lot of messages now, even from just my close friends, you know, like asking, what did you just do the past couple months? Can you send me a link? You know, and I'm like, oh God, it's not a link, you know? But it's
a wipe up.
Yeah, it's validation that, you know, it lights the way for other people.
It really does. It really does. But it comes from saying yes to yourself first.
Yeah.
And I think, like, in my journey, it was kind of like this hidden thing that, like, I didn't really know what I was saying yes to at the time. I think there were more superficial reasons back then of what I knew I needed to change and wanted to change and what I was committing to that actually opened up a similar can of worms, but in such a more meaningful way than what my initial intentions were.
And you had told me that it came in layers. You had like two or three waves of it.
Yeah, so I guess I can start.
Yeah,
I can
start. Before you start, I want to give a reflection to you of your Austin kind of when I met you at June's, what you told me had happened when you moved to Austin.
Yeah.
And how you moved through that. And then just even from June to now, just watching you become lighter and lighter and lighter, just physically, mentally, and emotionally is so, so inspiring.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. A lot of my personal journey has to do with weight loss. And I think for a really long time, I was literally carrying the weight of other people. And that happened to me in a physical way. Like, it really did. And moving to Austin was for me and for my unit that is, like, my core family. And that allowed me to really shift out of shedding, carrying so many other people's weight, which in turn allowed me to physically lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think, like, even in that conversation, of course, happy to dive into the loss of my mom and grieving her life. She died less than a month before me moving to Austin. And I actually remember the day I told her that we were moving to Austin. And she was so excited. She knew that Andrew and I actually remember her saying, like, thank God you met Andrew in LA, but, like, get out. And she went to school at UT in Austin, and she understood our intentions with what we wanted in Austin. But I can share a lot more about that. I think in regards to my personal journey, I always like to think about this point in my life when I was graduating college. And college for me was 4 years where I had zero self-discipline, zero self-control. I was not living for myself. I didn't really have a firm sense of identity. So it was really hard for me to make decisions if I didn't really know who I was.
Mm.
And what that amounted to, and what I've made a lot of meaning of in hindsight now and, like, retroactively thinking, it added up to gaining a lot of weight. And it also added up to holding a lot of trauma within.
Yeah.
And I think it's really easy to look at someone and say they're overweight, but the hard thing to do is actually dive deeper and understand why that weight happened. Obviously, there's genetics. I'm not really predisposed to being long and lean. But there was so much more than just eating too much and not choosing the right foods and not understanding how to work out.
And I also think, I was just recording a solo episode on this too. You know, so many people think weight, it's like, oh, I need to just get my eating in order. Yes, but the bad habits with the eating is stemming from something deeper that's going on inside. It's not the food. It's the decisions around the food that is activating. You know, it's the sabotage. It's that numbing. It's that pattern that we once made. Like, okay, I'm feeling this, so I'm going to eat right now. You know, I've definitely gone through waves in my life where I feel really anxious and food feels grounding. Mm. But then I realized, oh, I'm doing this pattern of like, I feel anxious, so I'm going to go eat because it's going to ground me. And it's like, wait, how can I ground without that kind of vice? You know, how can I look within of where's that anxiety coming from? And so I just want to say, you know, in reflection to what you were saying, yes, you know, I think weight loss, weight, gaining weight is just so much deeper than how I think some people feel about it, you know, like, oh, I could just get my shit together. It's like, there's stuff going on inside.
It's not that simple. Yeah. It's really not that simple. And yeah, I think the easiest way for me to put it is some people choose alcohol, some people choose drugs, I chose food.
Yeah.
And it was my escape. It was a very emotional relationship, a very not great emotional relationship. And it was kind of my crutch through so much trauma.
Did you know? Were you aware? During?
I was not. There was a lot of dissociation. Mm. There was a lot of dissociation. It's taken a lot of therapy and a lot of self-work for me to identify, oh, wow. Yeah, like I wasn't just 200 pounds. I was actually the person dealing with this that amounted to that. And, you know, I'm so grateful for my family and the way I was raised because it's allowed me to be who I am today. And I'm also that same person in that same breath who is so here to share that I do come from a dysfunctional family. I think we all come from some form of dysfunction. Mine at times created environments that were not healthy. And for me, I turned to food a lot of that time. I turned to really unhealthy habits. I never found myself to have the habits of who I wanted to be. I had the habits of someone who was stuck in an environment where I really wasn't thriving. And it kind of was this answer of like, this makes me feel better. This is my escape. And that comes in so many forms. Yeah, I think back to a lot of like traumatic experiences within my childhood, and a lot of them were kind of like at a dining room table over food. And
oh, it's fascinating.
Yeah. And like, you don't realize that until you're out of it.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm really just in this making meaning season. And I think a lot of that has to do with grief. A lot of that in mourning my mom. You know, in losing my mom, I like to think of my mom being she was such a great gift to me while she was here. She made me so strong. But her leaving made me even stronger. I had to be strong. I had to be resilient. But when you go through that dark time, when you grieve, when you hurt, when you are truly depressed, that's when you find what lifts you up. And thank goodness it happened at a time in my life where I had already chose Austin. I was building a brand within Form that's all rooted in health and wellness. And I understood my toolkit of what can see me through. I was not that same college girl. Oh my gosh, God forbid that happened to me when I was in college. Truly, God forbid. When I lost my mom, I was at my strongest point personally. And it allowed me to get stronger. And I'm still getting stronger every day. It's still something I'm dealing with every day. But yeah, so once I graduated college and really just had zero foundation of health and wellness of what we know today, I moved to Los Angeles.
It was also not the time. Like, if you didn't live in LA or an up-and-coming area, because I'm from Wisconsin, you know, it wasn't available. And so much compassion as well. Like, we didn't know.
I feel like our college culture. I went to school in South Carolina, and I really love my college experience. It taught me a lot about myself, in hindsight again. Hindsight 2020, baby. But yeah, going to school in the South, not having any foundation, not feeling that from anyone around me, and then moving to a place like Los Angeles where it's very cool to be healthy. It's very cool to be fit. It inspired me. Where in college, whoever was the most drunk was the coolest, like truly. And I feel so sorry for that version of myself who felt the need to deliver in that way. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of, it makes me sad. It really
does. But it's all you knew at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
What brought you to LA?
So my brother, Frankie, who you know, he's a riot.
Yeah. I love him on Instagram.
Yeah, he's a riot on Instagram. He's my best friend, my big brother. We've always been really close. Our parents raised us to be not necessarily codependent, but to show up for each other, to provide for each other. And him being a few years older, he kind of had that accelerated opportunity to find a really exciting world in Los Angeles. He had been living there for a while through his own journey and through going to college there. And on the professional side, he actually had the opportunity to start working with Uber when they were like nothing, and started to run their brand ambassador programs, which turned into large influencer campaigns. And this was at a time where I thought I was going to go to law school because, again, I had no idea who I was. So the easiest thing was to just continue to sit in a classroom and to hopefully figure it out 2 or 3 years later. But gosh. I remember talking to my brother and he's like, I need help and I need someone I can trust. Come to LA. And we both have a really special relationship with my dad. And I remember calling my dad and being like, are you sure this is for me? He goes, you're never going to know until you try. And if you fail, we're here to pick you up. And my brother and I had so much trust in each other and just confidence in who we were and what we could offer in such a new, exciting industry that is influencer marketing. So I moved to LA. And, you know, you move to a new city, you go see your new doctor. And that was the first time I had weighed myself in probably like 4 or 5 years. And that was really the start of my journey of saying yes to myself in a way where I was going to change my life, truly change my life. I truly transformed. Everything about me is different.
Literally different human.
Different human.
Different human.
Different human. And a lot of that initially, what I said earlier in this episode, came from this superficial desire of, I don't like my body. I am not at home in my body. I'm completely dissociated from my body. And immediately hiring a nutritionist, immediately figuring out some sort of movement that could just get me going, some sort of community that I could see what I wanted for myself in. And I really just started making decisions based on who I wanted to be, not who I was. And that for me was such a game changer, such a game changer. Again, in hindsight, I was put on the keto diet and joined a CrossFit gym. Would I do that now? Absolutely not.
No, but it was your starting point.
It was your starting point. It was truly
my
starting
point. And I think
it's
okay that it started physical. I mean, even my journey, my even spiritual awakening journey, it started physical. I started working out and I was like, oh, I can change how I look.
Yeah.
That was the first, wait a minute. We can change our reality.
Yes.
And I think you got to start there, you know? And what you spoke about being in your body and being dissociated, that's the first step in anything. It's like first connecting to your body, connecting to yourself, because then you can begin to move through life as a whole versus just a disconnect from reality and what's really happening.
Totally. I think for anyone listening to this who might be feeling a bit of their self in it, we can totally relate. Like, you are not alone. I want you to hear this and know that you are not alone. I literally used to look in the mirror naked and see a stranger. And I would judge that stranger. And I'm so proud to say that today I look in the mirror and I'm like, hell yeah, girl.
You can tell. You could tell in your smile. Aww. You could tell in your photos and how you carry yourself.
You do glow differently when mm-hmm. you've done the work. And I'm also so here to say that it's okay to have some superficial desires about the body that you live in.
Yeah. We live in this body.
We live in it.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to speak so deeply to the mindset shift and the emotional awakening and all of that. That's a part of the journey. But I'm so here to say that your physical desires are yours to own and you have every right to respect those.
Yeah. It's so important.
It's so important.
It's kind of like, I've given this analogy before about a house, you know?
Yeah.
You should make your bed and you should clean your house. You know, you just should. It's going to help how you live each day. And what makes our body different than living in a vital body that we like, that feels clutter-free, that feels just important,
and
treating it with respect.
Yes, yes. It's really using that house analogy. Like, now that we've moved to Austin and invested in creating our dream home, it literally hits such a nerve in such a beautiful way, because I think about how I even treat, like, our furniture and little things around the house is with so much more respect, because I have such ownership in it.
Mm-hmm.
And taking that ownership of your body as your vessel that you are living in is life-changing. Being dissociated from your body doesn't allow you to have that mind-body-soul connection that is so vital
to creating your life.
To being your life, like truly to being your best self.
Yeah. It's, you know, all the little things matter and it is all connected. And you hear people say that, so everything's connected, but it's so true.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and you see people who only have one thing, right? Where it's like just the money and they're miserable inside. Or just, it's just like a deconstruction when you don't work on every single asset and have all that full body balance in your life.
I so agree. I think within my story, what I found was self-love. I think the weight was a means to an end, and that end is self-love. That end is loving myself for who I am, who I choose to be, where I'm going, who I'm taking along with me, including myself in that journey. And when you find that deep self-love and you love yourself deeply, you actually show the world how to love you too. And I witnessed that so firsthand in my journey of when I found my sense of self and loved her, I found Andrew.
Yeah, and you guys have the most inspiring relationship. Literally, I look up to your relationship so much as a standard for myself.
I mean, truly, our communication through everything is our superpower. He's my biggest blessing and my greatest gift. I always say it, but I worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I did for me, I saw he already did for himself. And that allowed for the magnifying glass into our souls in our relationship to be such a beautiful reflection of the work that we both did.
Mm.
And it's so apparent in our relationship. I think about my career. It's no
accident.
Because
you have balance. You have balance. It's not like you just got the relationship and the career, but you hated your body and therefore you didn't like yourself, which would throw off
your
those
relationship.
Other,
100%. If you're in a relationship that is not what you want, you need to reflect on how are you showing up in that relationship? Are you being your best self? Do you love yourself to show someone else how to love you? I think like these other pillars of life, career, for example, when my brother and I were running our company, we had a lot of success, but I had no personal ties to it other than the beauty that was working with my brother and learning every day. It was truly, again, another means to an end, where now I think about my career and it's no accident that I literally partnered up with Sammy Clark, my business partner, who showed me how to move my body in a way that I loved.
Mm.
And now we have form that allows other people to come in and do the same for themselves and form the best versions of them through finding self-love and transform our podcast, where I can dive deep into all of my inner workings and what I've done. Like, there's just no accident. There's no coincidence. It is all on purpose and all because I chose to say yes to myself and found self-love.
And even the passing of your mother, it was already predestined to happen when it did. I mean, the creator knew that you couldn't go through that any sooner.
You know, it's interesting, even in talking to my relationship with Andrew, I remember within about 24 hours of hearing the news that my mom suddenly died, like I had no idea it was coming. I never was able to say goodbye to my mom. I remember looking at Andrew deep in his eyes and saying, my mom knew I was okay without her physically here because I have you. And I get emotional in thinking about the what ifs of life and what if I was there? What if I changed something? What if there's no what ifs? It happened and this is my life. This is my reality. But you get stronger. You get more resilient. Knowing that and having ownership that this was my life, that this is currently my life, and making it into my best life is something that allows me to wake up feeling joy and happiness every day, but also giving myself permission to feel my feelings and not allowing something like death to cause a part of me to die. Mm-hmm. It was actually a reawakening of becoming so much more alive. I've now seen how fragile life is. I have now seen what it looks like in literally the blink of an eye, from saying goodnight one day to hearing she's dead the next. I've lost a big part of my heart, but in that, I've also gained such a deep sense of self. And as this person sitting here who's literally transformed my life, I've lost 80 pounds. I've created my dream business alongside my co-founder. I've created my dream life, my dream home, my dream husband. It's because I choose to see the light. Like we all have dysfunction. We all have trauma. But when you choose to chase light, when you choose to reframe and see the positivity, the patterns are never going to stop showing up. How you handle that situation is what's going to allow you to see the light. I know that was a lot.
No, I was just soaking it up because it was so powerful and it really shows your being. And something that I noticed from the moment I met you was your light. She is so light. And when you even told me at June's, you know, that your mom had just passed when you moved here, which wasn't long ago, I was shocked that you were sitting there smiling and you were just so light. It's something I really, you've really inspired me with too, is just not being held by these little things and being light and being out in the world and smiling and
talking about them, giving them life. I think when we go through our own experiences alone and feel that sharing our traumas, our individual traumas, is going to like damper the mood or like bring sadness, I want everyone to reframe that thought, because what you're doing is actually normalizing yourself and giving yourself a community where, just like you and I did in our friendship, you find a common thread that isn't surface level.
Yeah, and you find that the support is there.
Always.
Because I'd love to hear your perspective on you starting to share your journey a lot more now, I think for so long, I just didn't even admit how depressed I was.
Yeah.
And how not okay I was and how unhappy I was. And so there was this disconnect between me and anyone I met, you know, because it was like, oh, Kenzie's killing it. Kenzie makes pretty brands. Kenzie does this, you know.
Which you do.
But on the inside, I was just so not okay and feeling like something is so like I was disassociated from life. And, you know, the thing about moving to Austin, I started with you and I started with everyone just being honest. You know, this is where I'm at. This is what I feel. This is, and to see how well received it is and how the love is there and the support is there, it's like, oh, that's, I've always been looking for love, but I haven't let love in because I wasn't allowing it to come in because I kept this, you know, persona, this wall, this, I got it.
You want to be perceived as your version of perfection.
Yeah, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to be doom's gloom.
Yeah, I totally can relate to that. And I think in this season of life for me, I just don't have time for small talk.
Yeah.
I don't crave small talk.
Yeah.
Same. I really, I'm going to go there and I'm going to go there quick. And that level of depth is such a mirrored reflection of what I've experienced, because it allows me to be so present in my emotions and feelings and not be disassociated from them. Again, like I have worked through that on a physical level with my body, But emotionally, if we're turning off everything we are feeling to have small talk and talk about the weather or whatever it is, that is doing our souls such a disservice.
It's draining. I feel so tired.
It's exhausting. Yeah. It's really exhausting. When I am open about my heart, I am in flow.
Yeah.
And I find my people who are in flow right alongside me.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple waves of your journey.
Yeah.
First one was LA. Yes. The first kind of awakening nutritionist. Then there was one more. Then there was Austin.
Yes. Okay. So I spoke about the keto CrossFit vibes.
Also, that was the time.
It really was. I think
it was peaking.
Yes. Like I was, in hindsight, we could just name this episode in hindsight. But truly looking back, I needed that rigidity. I needed something that kind of put me in a box to learn self-discipline. I needed to be told yes and no because I had no foundation. So something as specific as keto and CrossFit was a gift to me at that time because it taught me self-control, self-discipline, in turn, self-love. But at some point, I woke up to the fact that I want to be able to have more food freedom. I love the community that is CrossFit, but it's not actually something I crave. I just want to know what else exists, right? This was me just starting on my health and wellness journey.
Did you see results right away?
I lost 40 pounds with that. So I've lost 80 in total. So for anyone like me, I'm a numbers girl, lost half in that and really had gotten myself to a place where I was so confident and was really proud. I was really proud. And I think that's what allowed for this next stage of a bit of a plateau. And I mean plateau in the most positive way, because that plateau allowed me to really just reignite my sense of self, learn myself in this new body. Losing 40 pounds, I mean, you look and feel different.
Yeah.
But the feelings within that were big. They were big. So there were a couple of years where I was just stagnant in the most beautiful way. I started picking up other practices. So I stayed grain-free and refined sugar-free, but I brought in some foods that I had villainized previously from the modality of eating that is keto. I started walking. I started some more lower impact workouts like yoga and Pilates. I really just started experimenting. And I found a lot of self in that. I found a lot of shedding of people, friendships, just things that I used to do that I was no longer interested in. I changed as a human being. So my life changed too. My interests changed. Everything really changed. Everything. And I know we said that at the top, but when you're embarking on a journey, you got to embrace change. You got to love the process. It's a beautiful thing, but it is scary and intimidating. So really every aspect of my life was changing. And I had this beautiful season of this plateau of just learning and loving me, diving into me, loving me, not being so caught up in building my business or just the rigidity that was that other phase of life. But then one morning, I woke up and I craved more. I wanted more. I became really complacent. And at one point when I thought the new feeling of self I was so good with, this is now my new lifestyle, this new sense of self came in and said, what else is possible? Mm. Where aren't you going to?
Had you been with Andrew at this point?
Yeah. So such a great question. So within Andrew and I's story, we actually met at the beginning of my plateau within my health and wellness journey. So I remember our first date. This is such a fun memory, but
on our love first this date, story.
We went to Koi in West Hollywood, which was a big deal because I was a Venice Beach girl through and through. So for me to even enter West Hollywood where he lived for so long was just me trusting that I had high hopes. And we sat down for sushi, but at this point, my keto brain was no rice. So I remember sharing that with him from such a place of knowing myself and knowing what works for me and him receiving that so beautifully. And then we went to Jones after. And if anyone knows Jones in Los Angeles, they're known for their apple pie and martinis. So I literally remember eating the apples out of the apple pie where he fully ate the crust and literally having our, first makeout sesh in the Jones booth. I felt like it was such a beautiful moment of me owning who I was, not hiding that. Mm-hmm. Like what we were saying about our feelings, I shared with him my journey.
Yeah, because what you're going to say, oh, you're going to fake eat the rice, right?
Right.
And then you want to be with this person, but you don't feel comfortable eating rice.
Yes, and something so as simple
next week.
As saying yes to rice was saying no to myself.
Exactly.
And I mean, so much more depth within that conversation of our first date, talking about what we had already accomplished. And as I said earlier, really seeing so much of myself in the work that Andrew had done with his family, within his entrepreneurship journey, within his personal sense of self. I remember looking at him and coming home from that first date and saying, holy shit, that's my husband. And he's going to love me the way I've loved everyone else in my life. Mm. And it's been true every day since.
Even more.
Yeah. So those next couple of years, I was in this, again, like grain-free, sugar-free, Andrew embraced, looking at new forms of movement. But also just learning to love myself in a relationship. I think I was giving so much to the relationship that I wasn't necessarily craving so much more on my health and wellness journey until that day that I woke up and I said, there's more to this story. At this point, we, Sammy Clark and myself, had just launched Form. And Sammy Clark and her practice were such a gift to me on my journey. So becoming the business partner behind that was the easiest yes of my life. And I hired a new nutritionist. I work with a woman named Shira Barlow, who I absolutely adore. She wrote a book called The Food Therapist, which for me sums up all of my relationship with food because it is such an emotional, therapeutic thing. And I really started changing my brain and the way that I was doing things in this very stagnant period to changing it up and learning how much deeper I can go. What else can I open within myself? And, oh my goodness, a big part of that was seeing, wow, LA no longer is my place. Wow, my mom's really sick. Like, this is scary. Wow, I'm really good behind the scenes and really comfortable running Form, but what else is out there? There's something, I feel like someone listening can maybe relate with that thought of craving more. Knowing that you are destined for something bigger that you might not be seeing yet.
And daring to allow yourself to dream and then take action to have it.
Yes, because giving yourself that permission is arguably the hardest part.
Yeah.
So I've always been a big fan of hiring these experts around me. Of course, at this point, I moved to Austin and I got really specific about what I knew I needed. So I looked at my life and I audited my life. I looked at who I was attracting friendship-wise, what I was owning and work, and what my day-to-day habits looked like. I said, you know, as a co-founder of literally a wellness platform, I want to get more specific about how I want to show up in that. Because to date, everyone just knows me behind the scenes, but they don't understand that Form actually changed my life. So I'm going to start sharing, and I'm going to start not trying to do Form 4 to 5 times a week. I'm going to just do it. And getting more curious around other types of movement, like the fact that I was really intimidated to go into a gym. So I actually hired a trainer here in Austin who taught me how to weightlift. Mm. Lifting weights for someone who has struggled with being overweight was an interesting mindset. I think a lot of women think that they're going to gain weight when they lift heavy things. And I want anyone who is listening who resonates with that to know lifting weights changed my body. Oh my goodness. Lifting heavy things made me lean, which is kind of this oxymoron. It sounds different and unique and not what you would believe, because I think we assume that like these bodybuilders who are lifting weights, that's how they gain that huge muscle. And it is, but that's also a whole way of life.
And they're also eating method to
like
do
20
that.
Eggs every
yeah, yeah, yeah. They're trying to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you can do anything you try to do.
1,000,000%. I got so curious within weightlifting and learning that, oh, wow, this is igniting a part of me that I've never known before. And that combination with Form and my big walks that are honestly just a form of therapy and such a grounding thing for me, that on the movement side was a recipe to reignite this last phase that I'm now in the maintenance mode of. And then alongside that, the power of nutrition. To date, I was grain-free. I was really honestly afraid to have a bite of bread. I literally, owning up to this and just feeling safe in this conversation, had such toxic thoughts about just these starchy carbs. If I were to eat that bowl of pasta, if I were to eat that bread, I'm going to go back to a version of myself that I didn't love.
And that's okay.
Because, it was scary.
Yeah. And that's, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Because we create these new patterns all the time.
Yeah.
So you know, you were in a pattern and then you broke the pattern by not eating this. So then your new pattern was, this is bad.
Yes. And it's not bad.
No. And it's okay. It's okay because it also served you. And I think that's the other thing I'm working on this so deeply is just compassion and not, oh my gosh, I can't believe I thought pasta was bad. No, that really served you for a while.
Compassion, gratitude is my word for 2024, but compassion is like number two. And I think there's so much beauty within that word of compassion, but not only towards other people, like I think being a compassionate person is such a beautiful thing, but being compassionate for yourself, looking at different versions of you, because in life, we're all changing, we're all evolving. You're going to continuously be shedding and changing. Look at previous versions of you through a lens of compassion. When I look at myself 80 pounds heavier, my heart feels deeply, deeply. I have conversations with that version of myself still to this day. I speak to that version of myself. I let her know how proud she should be of what is all going to blossom in her life. But if I was embarrassed or still dissociating from that version of me and couldn't show her compassion, there's no way I would have achieved to be the girl and the woman sitting in this seat talking to you today, fully here in my body, in my soul, in my heart. All of the past versions of us continue to come with us. And that's the beauty of life.
And through that, we get a bigger capacity to hold.
Yeah.
So going back to your pasta example, yeah. To me, it's like you got to a place where you had more of a capacity then to make another change, where at a certain point, your capacity was that, you know what, this just has to be bad right now. And that's, you know, that's where you were at. But as you grow and as you evolve, you have capacity to open more, deeper conversation.
Yes. It's not knowing. This black and white yes. thing anymore. There's no dichotomy of yes or no. Where at one point in my journey, I needed yes and no. as simple down to like what foods I should be eating, but letting go of those shoulds and introducing this gray area of being intuitive in ourselves. And I think it's a really trendy, you know, word to be an intuitive eater. But to me, what that means is being here, present in my body, present in my cravings. I feel like I almost have like primal cravings. Like I know deep down to my core if I want something, if I want to eat it, and allowing myself and giving myself that permission to. I always speak to my nutritionist, Shira, about the fact that everything is on the table in terms of what I'm allowed to eat. Literally everything is on the table, but not everything is always going to be worth it. And what I mean by worth it is not weight gain or weight loss. What I mean by worth it is how that food makes me feel. Truly the feeling of that food. Because again, I'm still an emotional eater. I'm still a foodie. I love my food. But really having this intuitive mindset around, okay, am I present? Am I distracted? Am I craving this food? Is this nourishing me?
What is the intention behind it?
What is the intention?
Because our bodies are so magnificent. They really know what to do.
They really
do. And when you're in a relaxed state and you are embracing your food with love and intention, it just goes right through you.
Yes. When you've done that work.
Yeah. If you are afraid, if you are judging yourself, if you have this crazy mind, if your digestive system literally starts tensing up.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a flow thing. It's a flow state. That's also where weight gain comes. I've sat with many women who don't feel in their bodies and feel very overweight and watched them eat three bites, you know? And it's like, it's not necessarily about the food.
No.
You know, it's the conversation and the intention and what is really entering your body mentally, emotionally, physically as something physical is entering.
Yeah. I really hope for anyone listening who is on a journey that does involve just the physical aspects of their body. I hope my story can help inspire the fact that once I stopped being so rigid and said yes to something as simple as pasta and bread in a way that intuitively made me feel my best, this last phase of my journey, I was actually able to lose another 40 pounds. But that weight loss has nothing on the amount of life and self I gained. Truly, I can say full-heartedly, I'm sitting in a body with such a sense of self that I never knew I was capable of. I never knew this version of myself could exist. So if you feel content or stagnant, plateauing, or on the opposite, you're craving something to ignite you to want to even get started, just know that everything you're told you should be doing isn't always going to work for you. There's so much bio-individuality around nutrition, movement, and who we are and how we're wired. You need to try things to figure out what's going to work for you and respecting you. If you're following some modality of eating that feels like you can't go out to a restaurant to order what you're craving, know that there is a better option. If you are showing up to a workout that you are dreading, but you're just doing it to quote unquote lose weight, know that there is a better option. I'm so grateful to be sitting here today saying that the movement I crave and the food that I crave is such a privilege and pleasure. I don't dread any of it. It is the greatest gift to me. It is my reward for doing the work.
And I think the shift, if I can reflect back to you, is it then became an internal game. Like, it seems like the first wave of your weight loss was kind of external. Mm-hmm. And then the second wave was internal. And I was just recording a solo episode. And I talked about this too, about movement specifically. And I was like, you know, I've been living in my dream body for 2 years, and I've lived in my dream body and felt absolutely terrible inside. And it's just, for me, it's like my intention now with everything, even movement, all of that, it's I want to feel good, you know, because you can have the dream body, and if you don't feel good internally, it doesn't matter. Right. It literally doesn't matter. And I think that big switch of doing it for a feeling, even how you were speaking, like the bread, it brings you pleasure, it brings you joy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a feeling. And like,
I love
look how
sourdough.
Your body just went, ah. Oh.
Yes. And I think that's so generous for you to share in your experience too, that yeah, our physical form really is a means to an end, but that end feeling, oof, that's the goodness. And especially you and all of your beauty, I mean, on the inside and on the outside, but specifically just speaking to your dream body, I think from someone who has changed my body, it's such a gift to hear someone like yourself with your platform say, you work so hard for your dream body and you've been living in it, but you weren't feeling your best sense of self. Because I think it's so easy for someone who's been in my seat to look at someone like you and say, Kenzie's so lucky. Look at what she looks like. She's so lucky. But then to actually have the conversation with you, to hear the hard work that allowed you to achieve to be in your dream body and the harder work to feel your best in that body, that is such a gift to receive. And I know so many people listening are like, wow, thank you. Like it's truly really nice to hear someone who looks the way you do share the hard feelings of not feeling your best sense of self within that body too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it's the same. It's a disassociation, right? So I know I achieved my dream body like a year and a half ago. And then I went through a dissociative phase before I moved to Austin, where when I look at pictures of myself, I'm like, you looked amazing, right? But in the moment, it's just like you don't feel good, right? You can't even see it. You're just like not here. So it's that journey of connecting to, I want to feel good.
Yeah.
And then you can have both.
I'm not like a pop culture girly by any means. Literally don't know anything about any pop culture stuff, but I just thought of a funny quote that I remember Kourtney Kardashian said when she looks back at her skinniest photos, it's actually when she had like the worst self-esteem. And what's interesting in my journey of losing so much weight, I look back to my photos when I look a different way and I can feel what that version of myself is feeling. And it's so interesting to hear even you share, like looking at photos where physically you're like, oh yeah, girl. But then you know what was happening way deep down.
Yeah, and I can see it too. I'm like, oh, you were. Yeah. I'd say where I am now is I'm really embodied in my body. Mm. It's even shifted a little bit than it was last year, because last year it was like, yes, it was my dream body, but there was this almost like stiffness, like, disassociation, right?
Yeah.
Like a little bit. And it's, yeah, it's turning your daily habits, for me, really my movement, my meditation, all these things of, I'm trying to achieve a feeling right now. I'm trying to move through myself and my own energy and feel in flow, just like what we're speaking of.
Yeah.
And then how all of that connects, you know, and just that mind-body connection, what we started this podcast with, is so true. And it's so, I've lived a lot of my life, I'd say, like, cut off here, you know?
Yes.
My head and everything was one thing, and then my physical body, and it's bridging that. And then actually the information we can get from our whole body, you know, that's where the gold is.
You know, it's so funny. I had always heard of, like, this mind-body connection. And to me, I'm like, haha. Like, what the fuck are they talking about? Because I just never knew. I never could relate. I truly think back to so many conversations that I would listen to or have on my own where someone's asking me, like, what are you craving for dinner? Or, like, what type of workout do you want to do? Like, let's do workout class. What do you want to do? Or, like, even my girlfriends being like, yeah, I feel so bloated. I didn't even know what it felt like to be bloated. I had no connection with my body. I was literally, like, talk about mind-body dualism. Like, I was a different sense of self in my mind versus my body. And now it's such a sense of one. They are so connected. I can feel physically what I am feeling emotionally. It's so tied. I know when I'm about to get sick. I know what to tell myself when I'm nervous. I know what my body is craving. When I am working out, I feel it. It's such a different experience. Mm-hmm. And it really is so crazy about even exactly what you're saying, how we lived our life for so long not having that.
Yeah. It's where the greatest information lies. And something that got me out of my freeze state, I'm in a different time zone in the past month, you know, just of life. You saw what happened when I moved to Austin. It was just a lot of processing. But what ended up, quote unquote, saving me was just going inside. You know, I did all the things and beautiful. And I've done all the modalities. I've gotten help, support, plant medicine. I've done all these different modalities, right? All of which served, like you spoke about. But what ended up, you know, being the hero of the day was going inside for the information I need. Because at the end of the day, no one is going to save you. At the end of the day, no one can change your life. At the end of the day, no one can give you the results you want to see. And so it's just surrendering to that and allowing that mind-body connection to come online.
I always say the most important relationship that you have is the one with yourself. And that self includes your body. If you can give yourself the gift that is being at home in your body, it is the greatest gift of all. It is truly the greatest gift of all. But you got to go there and you got to do it for you. You cannot allow someone else to come save the day. Because even if it works for a second, it's not going to work for life. If you do the work and you can figure out what daily habits are going to allow you to feel so at home in your own body and showing up for yourself and loving yourself, that is the life that we are all deserving of. That is the life we are all capable of. It's just up to you if you want to go there.
You're amazing.
You're amazing.
Thank you so much for sharing everything you shared today. You're such a light.
You're such a light. I genuinely am so grateful that our paths crossed.
Me too.
Just like I was saying earlier, I don't believe in any coincidence. I think that you and I on the surface are very different, but deep down have so many common threads of really, really similar experiences in our own way that ties together so deeply. And I even think of, like, the season of my friendships. Like, you are the friend that I want to have. Mm-hmm. You are the person that I want to have these level of conversations with. Again, no small talk.
Yeah.
I just I think, you know, life shows up in these dark days, and in those dark days, you see the light through your friends, through your self-work, and the gift of friendship and community that we've shown each other.
Is so important.
It's so important.
Such an expander for me in joy and in lightness. Yeah. That's something I'm really learning how to be, is light and joy, because I created a really deep pattern of it has to be hard and I have to go through something hard and then I can share and then people, like that's my act of service, right? And I've been really working on breaking that, and meeting you and Andrew and just seeing your joy and your light has been such an expansion for me of just how to embody joy.
Like, this dog mom now too. I think this is such a perfect analogy that just reminded me of. The dark days are always going to come, but they don't own you. Mm-hmm. You can get out of that and find the lighthearted, simple things that just spark your fire and bring your heart that extra beat of joy and love. And to me, you getting Honey, your precious golden doodle, who I love as if she's my own. I have my own golden doodle Bagel, who's best friends with Honey, but truly watching you receive the love from Honey, even in your content around Honey, like you can tell it's a different part of you. It's the part of you that is almost this inner child.
It's the real me.
Like, I want everyone listening to know that, like, that exists so deeply within you, and your act of service in giving us access to the work that you've done is such a blessing. Mm. But there's so much Kenzie within that too. That is playful. That is, I mean, such a ray of sunshine.
Thank you.
You carry that light. You really do. And I'm just grateful that you also allow us to see a bit of the darkness of what you've worked through.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really working. Because people who know me, you, even my friend Marla, she's like, you are a firecracker in person.
You really are. No, like, I remember even when we first met, I'm like, holy shit, you're exactly Frankie's type. Because... my brother, like, gives me matchmaking and just, like, desperate for my future sister-in-law. But I think about my brother who also has that duality. And it's a tough line. Like, I want to serve these experiences that I've had that are so deep. But I also just want to, like, show this, like, silly selfie of my dog making out with me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that tough line. But, like, truly, you are both in the most beautiful Kenzie way. And being a receiver of that is so amazing. I'm so grateful.
Thank you. And last thing to end with is I got Honey because of you guys.
I mean, truly, golden doodles are little humans.
You guys inspired me so much.
Having
and I didn't think I was a dog person.
Yeah.
But Bagel, I'm like, I love her. I need one.
Oh my gosh. She knows what we're feeling. Honey knows too. I just watch Honey while Kenzie was in Mexico and truly, like, these dogs have souls, and they are here comfort and love us. They're literally humans. People are going to think we're absolutely insane.
We are those people, you and I.
I stand by the fact that golden doodles are humans.
Yeah.
Like, put that on a bumper sticker. I will sign my name on that day in and day out.
Yeah.
Golden doodles are humans, and they love us. They bring the joy of the day. And the fact that Bagel is an inspiration for you to get your own being Honey, like, I literally am.
Remember,
like,
I texted you. I was like, should I do this, Sammy? And you said yes.
And then we have to let everyone in before we close. So I asked Kenzie, okay, what do you, like, I saw the pic.
Within 5 minutes. I
literally
found
five
her.
Minutes.
Took a screenshot. I said, Sammy, should I do it? And you said yes.
I said yes. And it's a picture of this puppy wearing sunglasses. And I'm like, I'm literally, like, I think a part of me just collapsed. Yes, yes, yes. And I go, Kenzie, what are you going to name her? And you said, I think Honey. And my mom's name, literally on her birth certificate, was Honey. And
you texted that to me.
Yeah.
And I said,
you said, that's the last sign I needed. I'm doing it. And even just a moment of, like, having Honey in our house and, like, calling her Honey and, like, giving my mom that, like, physical, just, like, being able to say the name out loud is so nice. It's so nice. Mm. It's really just, it's a beautiful thing. And Honey is so Honey.
She's such a Honey.
She really is such a Honey. I love her so much. I love you.
I love you. Where can everyone find you? And you have a podcast now.
Yes. Everyone can find me on Instagram at Sammy Spalter. And then my podcast is Transform, at Transform on Instagram as well. We released
just
pods.
You with the nice at transform handle. I know. Oh no big deal.
We finessed that one. I'm like, this is a sign to get like the handle at transform.
You're just
like,
a boss. Let's just admit you got transform. I do love. You have the form handle. I'm like, I don't know what she's doing over there. But
I love the business side of things. It's like my masculine energy, you know? Like I get to fully send that and then show up with my heart in these ways.
Thank you. I love you.
Love you. Love you. Love you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked this conversation and if you like this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you gave it a rating and review. This just helps the podcast grow and flourish, and it truly means so much to me every time I hear from each and every one of you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And to stay in touch, you can follow me on Instagram at Kenzie Burke. That is the home to all of my endeavors. And then at Body Forward and bodyforward.com, all things Body Forward. Please stay tuned as there is much to come and much to launching, from new programs to an entirely new membership platform that is launching in this new year in spring. A modality that I have been creating that's been birthed out of pure necessity and that has been truly changing my life before my own eyes. And I'm so thrilled to bring this to the world and to bring this to you. And yeah, so keep your eyes peeled. March is the month. And yeah, stay in touch. I'll see you on the next episode.